A quick word on Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition critic. He actually died today in a Russian prison. He was only 47, but goddamn, this guy was a true badass. Heroic, even. He stood up to Vladimir Putin. He stood up to this tyrant, even when he knew, you know, it would probably end in his death. He was poisoned before, and then he returned to Russia almost to say fuck you to Putin. Putin put him in prison, and now he's dead. Most likely killed in prison. But anyway, rest in peace, Alexei Navalny, and apologies to your family for a goddamn world where something like that can happen. Anyway, we're going to talk about a totally weird and fun L.A. movie. Lenny Bruce, a little bit of Lethal Weapon, and some other shit.
You are my density. You are my density.
So I came across this nutty kind of thriller, kind of comedy called Terminal Exposure from 1987. It's directed by the prolific but schlocky Nico Mastorakis. It's corny. It's kind of terrible in some ways, but it's also kind of great. A lot of it's set in Venice Beach, and there's some great scenes there and also just general L.A. scenes. It's about these kind of two goofy loser dudes who like are photographing at the beach. They're like photographing girls. They're like, you know, boobs and butts and stuff. And then they realize they like later on they took a picture of possibly a murder or some kind of crime going on. So then they kind of try and, you know, investigate it. They almost become detectives. It's low budget, but kind of engaging. And it's a kind of a takeoff of Michelangelo Antonioni's 1966 Blow Up. The entertaining but a little bit too arty movie for me, where he's a photographer, like a fashion photographer, who may have photographed a murder. Antonioni also did the 1970 counterculture kind of experimental Zabriskie Point, which has a really famous scene of like two people kind of fucking on a sand dune hill thing. I always loved the idea of Antonioni, but I never totally enjoyed his movies. They're real slow, kind of slow burn, arty. The Passenger with Jack Nicholson was actually pretty good, though. But yeah, Terminal Exposure has largely no name actors in it. But the actor Ted Lange has kind of a funny role in it. Ted Lange has always been near to my heart. I remember him for the role of Isaac the bartender from the TV show The Love Boat from 1977 to 1986. And he was actually a classically trained actor. His catchphrase on the show was, "All right." I got an autograph from him when I was a kid. And I just remember he wrote, "Keep it together, Ted Lange." Which is kind of a weird phrase, but maybe he knew even then I was kind of a nut. Maybe for my letter, he's like, "Yo, man, keep it together, bro. Don't fucking lose it on me." And the song from The Love Boat is kind of a classic. It's real corny. Actually, the guitar chords are too fucking weird to try and play, but it's like, "The Love Boat soon will be making another run. The Love Boat promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance." It was a weird show, man, but enjoyable. And in the movie Terminal Exposure, one of the characters is named Argento, which I'm sure is a nod to the Italian horror movie director Dario Argento. He did very stylish movies. Suspiria from 1977 is kind of his, you know, really famous movie. But I always dug the 1982 Tenebrae movie by Dario Argento with Anthony Franciosa, kind of as an American author who gets involved in these, like, you know, he's a suspect in these killings. I just remember the ending just being, like, amazing, like the shocking scene of Anthony Franciosa. Just, it's totally worth watching for the ending. And then also in the movie Terminal Exposure, someone's giving directions to someone, and they're like, "It's on the corner of Corleone and Siegel," which are both likely film references, obviously, to the Corleone family from The Godfather. And then the director, Don Siegel, the really skilled and prolific director of 1979's Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood. He directed Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood from 1971. I was always partial to Charlie Varick, this 1973 movie with the great Walter Matthau as a kind of way over his head small time crook who messes with the mob. The great badass Joe Don Baker plays a hitman, and Andy Robinson is also in it, who is actually the villain in Dirty Harry. And if you need another dose of Joe Don Baker, goddamn, please watch The Outfit. It's like a noir crime kind of thing from 1973, directed by John Flynn. It's just like Robert Duvall, Joe Don Baker, the kind of amazing Karen Black, fucking Robert Ryan, legendary actor with the best hairline ever. And Timothy Carey is also in it, who was in Killing of a Chinese Bookie by John Cassavetes. But the outfit is just fucking lean, badass revenge movie. It's short. It's brutal. It's so fun. Total must-see. There's also kind of a 2022 thriller called The Outfit with Mark Rylance. I think it's almost in one location. I haven't watched that, but I did hear it was good. And anyway, I'm almost done talking about this terminal exposure movie. But the two lead characters are named Lenny and Bruce, which I assume is an intentional homage to the late comedian Lenny Bruce, who famously clashed with the law over like what's obscene and what isn't. He went to court and was acquitted, but it led to more First Amendment protections for comedians. But he was like just continued to be hounded by the cops till the end of his life. He had a heroin habit. And he eventually overdosed in his house in the Hollywood Hills in 1966. And he was only 40. Frank Zappa had a great quote. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like he died of an overdose of cops or an overdose of police because they just hounded him and, you know. So anyway, rest in peace, Lenny Bruce. There's a couple of good quotes from Lenny Bruce as well. There are no dirty words, only dirty minds. And the American Constitution was not written to protect criminals. It was written to protect the government from becoming criminals. And I did drive up to try and see his house where he died, but you can only see the gate. And Frank Zappa quickly, he had another amazing quote. Don't do speed. Speed turns you into your parents. He was like rabidly anti-drug, although he was a huge chain smoker. But yeah, I think what he's trying to say is, you know, just speed kind of eventually burns out your circuits and you lose that kind of like normal energy and you just become fucking flat and boring. It's like you only have so much goddamn dopamine circuits in your brain. And it gives you energy, but then eventually burns you out and you're like a deadbeat. But anyway, he's buried in, of course, Westwood Memorial, in an unmarked grave next to the actor Lou Ayres. And speaking of cemeteries, I was like on a Lenny Bruce kick, you know, buying a bunch of his old albums. I went through many periods, kind of a Jim Morrison phase. I want roses in my garden bower dig. A Kurt Cobain phase. I saw Nirvana like 3 or 4 times. I'll talk about him at some point. And then a Lenny Bruce phase. And of course, forever, I'll be in a Stacey Keach phase. But yeah, I wanted to try and find Lenny Bruce's grave several years ago at Eden Memorial Park in Los Angeles. I guess the family didn't want his grave to be public, to be known publicly. And he was actually buried under his birth name, Leonard Schneider. So anyway, I went into the front. I was like, hey, can I have the location of a grave for someone? And they kind of opened up the book. And I was like, Leonard Schneider? And they kind of looked at it. And then they shut the book. And they were just like, yeah, we can't really tell you that. It's a big ass cemetery. And I walked around like aimlessly a couple times. I went out there and just tried to find it, but to no avail. I think you can like find more information on the part of the cemetery he's in. He's in like the Mount Nebo section or something. So I may revisit that sometime when I'm back in LA. Speaking of unmarked graves, I also looked for Steve Jobs' unmarked grave up here in Palo Alto. Supposedly it's near like an apricot tree or something. Me and my buddy Charlie looked around, but it was an idiotic quest. We couldn't find shit. And I know Steve Jobs was a genius and all that, but I don't know. I'm not sure if the iPhone and all this shit is doing us any good, really. But anyway. And speaking lastly of Lenny Bruce, I'm not huge on Dustin Hoffman, but he was pretty great in the Bob Fosse movie Lenny from 1974. The hot Valerie Perrine played his stripper wife, Honey. Valerie Perrine, like Uma Thurman, was one of those women that just like, even when I was young, I was like blown away by her boobs. I was like, ay, ay, ay. I just remember being transfixed by her in the 1978 movie Superman, directed by the great Richard Donner, with the late Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman, and the somewhat troubled Margot Kidder. I always loved the song, Can You Read My Mind? It was sung by Maureen McGovern. And it kind of goes like this. Can you read my mind? Do you know what it is you do to me? I don't know who you are. Just a friend from another star. Here I am, like a kid out of school. holding hands with a god or a fool. A great little song. And speaking of Christopher Reeve, there's a nice little twisty thriller called Death Trap from 1982. It was based on a play, kind of filmed like on one location with Christopher Reeve and Michael Caine. It's directed by the perennial favorite Sidney Lumet, just total pro. But anyway, the movie's about a playwright and like a student. The playwright is kind of losing steam, and he kind of can't write anymore, and he, you know, steals something from the student. But it's got so many plot twists. It's totally fun, kind of scary, kind of funny, totally worth watching. It's very similar to the movie Sleuth from 1972, directed by Joseph Mankiewicz. That's starring Laurence Olivier and Michael Caine. And it's also based on a play, weirdly enough, kind of like one location. It's a great movie. That's like a battle of wits between these two guys. Well done. Amazing script. Great plot twists. There was kind of a flat remake of Sleuth, or a redo of it, directed by Kenneth Branagh with Michael Caine and Jude Law. It's okay, but the original is great. And quickly, back to the great Richard Donner. His 1987 Lethal Weapon is just a masterpiece, man. It's scripted by the genius Shane Black. The self-destructive cop Martin Riggs is played by Mel Gibson, and he's teamed up with like an older, you know, more family-oriented cop, Roger Murtaugh, played by Danny Glover. Gary Busey has a memorable role as Mr. Joshua, this trained fucking killer. It's pretty scary. And then the great before-mentioned Tom Atkins is also in it. He's the one that gets shot while he's like, you know, from his back, and he's like drinking milk, and it goes through the milk carton, and milk comes out like from a little bullet hole. It's totally awesome. But there's a great scene kind of near the beginning when Mel Gibson's crying about his deceased wife, and he sticks his gun in his mouth, and he's just, you know, about to like shoot himself, and he's just crying, and it's like, and he's like, oh, you know, I'll see you later. You know, he pulls it out of his mouth, but it's so raw, man. It's real feeling. It's like great acting. And there's many great quotes from the movie. One of my favorites is, you know, Mel Gibson's kind of this crazy acting character, and Danny Glover's not sure if he's bullshitting or what. But finally, Danny Glover just says to Mel Gibson, "You're not trying to draw a psycho pension. You really are crazy." And Mel Gibson's character is like a former Green Beret, just kind of a ex-badass. And at one point, he's kind of talking to Danny Glover about how good he is at killing. And Mel Gibson just kind of says, "When I was 19, I did a guy in Laos from 1,000 yards out. It was a rifle shot in high wind. Maybe 8 or even 10 guys in the world could have made that shot. It's the only thing I was ever good at." And I love movies where like just like some guy from like fucking way far away is just like picking people off like from a distance, just like some kind of badass assassin. Near the end of Lethal Weapon, that happens with Mel Gibson, proving how good he actually is. And there's this kind of a similar ending scene in the pretty decent Taylor Sheridan movie Wind River from 2017 with Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen, where Jeremy Renner is kind of shooting guys from a distance. Jeremy Renner has never done much for me, but he's pretty good in this movie. And kind of funny, but when I was in high school, I was going to go to stay at like a friend's family's ranch or some shit, kind of near Paso Robles, I believe. And we were going to go to kind of shoot, you know, at stuff. And, you know, they were kind of a hunting family, and the dad wanted to make sure I was safe with guns. So I met my friend and his dad at the firing range. And anyway, so it was like a 30-06 or something rifle. And, you know, the target was, you know, fucking way far away. And, you know, there was a scope, obviously. And so, you know, I'm looking through it. I'm aiming. You know, I'm looking at the target, blah, blah, blah. I squeeze the trigger. And then I look through the eyesight, and I'm like, this, I think there's a mistake, because it was fucking bullseye. And the dad, you know, kind of came and looked down, and he's like, "Well, I'm glad you're on our side." But yeah, I kind of felt Martin Riggsy there. I was like, yeah. And I'm not a big gun guy at all, but when my dad died, I did take his .357 Magnum. And sometimes we'd go to the shooting range. Me and my buddy Hornbeck went once, and he was shooting way better than me. And I got so pissed. Like I've said before, I'm a terrible sport. And then at the LAX firing range, me and my other buddy, Colin, the guy I used to throw pennies at while he was snore, we rented the 50 caliber handgun. I mean, it's like comically fucking large. And we bought these four huge bullets. I mean, the fucking thing like shoots elephants or some shit. There was so much kickback. It was almost like you would like break your wrist. You had to like push down so hard before you pulled the trigger. And it sounded like a fucking cannon. I mean, when we shot it once, everyone in the firing range like looked over and was like, what the fuck was that? Colin shot it once and was like, yeah, I don't want to do that again. I shot the other three bullets kind of begrudgingly. It was not fun. And anyway, let's end with a quote and a song. Fuck it. We're going to cover all our bases. There's one I've always loved. It's a famous quote from Soren Kierkegaard, the philosopher. He said, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Which is like so accurate. It's like, you know, as we age, we understand kind of like what went on before and how much we know now and how little we knew then. And it's a little bittersweet. Like sometimes it's like, damn, I should have realized back then what I know now and I would have done something differently. But that's kind of the rub. You got to live through it. And then later on, you piece stuff together, but just super perceptive. And quickly, I promise this is going to tie into something. But anyway, I love me some George C. Scott. And he was in the enjoyable Sidney Lumet, again, Sidney Lumet, the master, remake of Gloria in 1999. It's about like a mobster ex-girlfriend who gets stuck with a little boy and they're at odds. But it becomes like this touching little relationship. The kid is totally fun in it. And he's got some great funny lines. It's goofy, but it's fun. The original was in 1980, directed by John Cassavetes, starring Jenna Rollins, his wife. Both versions are enjoyable. The 1999 one is a little more corny, a little more fun, and it's got George C. Scott. The 1981 is grittier, but maybe a little more believable, but also great. And yes, I have always loved the song Gloria. See how I tied that all together? Sung by the late Laura Branigan. And she died in 2004, tragically of a brain aneurysm. She was only 52. Rest in peace, Laura Branigan. She has a great voice, total powerhouse vocals. Holy shit. The song is amazing. It's actually based on an Italian love song that got translated, and then Laura Branigan covered that song. And the song also has just kind of always had a sweet spot for me because since I became a psychiatric nurse, there's a line in it that says, you know, you really don't remember, was it something that he said? Are the voices in your head calling Gloria? So yeah, but anyway, just a great song and, talk to you next week. I think you've got to slow down before you start to blow it. I think you're headed for a breakdown. So be careful not to show it. You really don't remember. Was it something that he said? Are the voices in your head calling Gloria, Gloria? Don't you think you're falling? If everybody wants you, why isn't anybody calling? You don't have to answer. Leave them hanging on the line. Oh, calling Gloria.